Hello and welcome everybody to Chalkcast episode number 71. I'm here joined by my co-hosts Johnny and CJ. We're here with our special guest, Fear. We've had a lot happen within the past couple weekends. We have all of our major teams, so those guys will be flying to Copenhagen. But in case you missed it, Chalkcast is also flying to Korea. We're actually doing a content boot camp. We're looking to record a bunch of bonus episodes while we're there, live and in person. And we're looking to possibly unlock some more goals as well for those paid Patreon members. So be sure to check out the Patreon, patreon.com/chalkcast, to get a piece of that extra bonus content. But fellas, we got
where are the goals again? Where are the goals? I've genuinely forgotten them.
I got them. I got them actually right here. So that's a great question.
Nice.
We got a Korean candy tier list at 600. At 700, it's a Chalkcast travel vlog. 800
huge.
Is a Korean street food tour. Yeah, the whole thing.
That's sick.
900 would be a live drinking episode. And I've seen a lot of people say, Twitch is banned in Korea. Okay,
YouTube
still exists. Okay, we can still do it. We can pretend.
When we booked the trip, it wasn't banned as well.
It won't stop
us.
To be
fair. And then it got banned.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
I think
we didn't
know. Was getting banned, but oh well.
I don't think maybe CJ knew. I didn't know. YouTube anyway. We're going to YouTube stream.
Yeah, we'll have to YouTube stream. And then 1,000 is a Chalkcast merch drop. So we'll see if we can get all the way there. We're also still looking for suggestions on other things. We can replace these, put stuff in between, put stuff higher. We'll
50
see.
50 tiers. Yeah,
50 tiers, why not? So if you guys have any suggestions, please be sure to put them in the Discord. But fellas, we've had a great weekend. I watched all of RLCS. No, I got to stop saying
did
that.
You know?
No,
did
I,
you know?
I actually have to stop saying that.
I don't know if you did.
Because I got one guide before, and he was like, I can't stand Rizzo how he keeps talking about how he doesn't watch RLCS. I'm sorry. Like, I'm just trying to be honest, you know? What do I have to say? Oh, yeah, I definitely watched every second of it. I loved it. My bad, okay?
You're honest.
I think you...
I'm honest,
yeah, I think,
exactly.
What was you were saying, CJ, that Rizzo, you just... Moise got eliminated and he just lost interest? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he's a Moise fanboy. Semi-final happened, they lost, and he's like, I think I'm going to go play Bellatro now. And he just left and didn't even watch the final. So, Rizzo, who won on the weekend?
Casey won on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
he's good.
He's good. Oh, man.
He's really good.
This guy knows.
Yeah, so we are joined by Fear today, and that's actually the first thing I want to know from Fear is, do you have a team or a player in any region that when they get eliminated, your interest goes down? You're like, I'm just salty now, or not interested, don't want to watch anymore. Has that ever happened to you with RLCS?
I mean, back in the day, I used to have that a lot when I was more of a casual viewer. Now that I'm so involved in Rocket League, I've gotten invested enough teams and not really. But whatever team that I'm having running the team stream for, so when I was running for Rule 1, I was like definitely got really invested in Rule 1, and then I've been doing M80, so I'm definitely making sure to catch M80 and would watch them, 100% for sure if they made it all the way through, whereas I don't catch every single game. But so whoever I'm doing a stream for, I get invested because you just naturally do, commentating them and whatnot. But other than that, I actually don't have as much of a fandom as I used to. I used to be the OG, like, original...
Renegades fan.
G2 fan.
Oh.
Renegades fan.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't expect it.
I was the G2 fan until I started streaming and getting more invested, and then of course, left G2.
Daniel.
Fan. And now you've got like the shortest, so I guess Saturdays in NA are really short for you, because M8, you just, quickly get eliminated in the quarters. You're like, all right, enough of this. I'm off for the day now. Just no need to watch any more of this.
The Fridays is fantastic.
Fast Fridays as well, man.
So much confidence in the Fridays, for you guys. You just think, well, this is a formality. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's pretty weird to watch a team, and especially the first 2 weeks, like when I'm watching them really closely and you're just analyzing a little bit more locked in when you're streaming it yourself. I'm like, damn, this team is killing it. This team is everything that they were supposed to be. And then it's a big question mark on the days that I'm not fully watching them. So it was actually kind of an interesting experience thinking like, I'm seeing this amazing team and it isn't translating, but their last Swiss actually wasn't so hot. So it's not, that's when I got to see the struggles, in person a little bit.
Where did it all go wrong for that team, do you think? Because obviously they did have high highs. They beat Gen G twice in Swiss. They went 3-0 twice in Swiss. Where did it go wrong though in the, quarterfinal matchups, final event for you?
That's hard to say. I don't know what the deal is, because I've always felt like going in, I know you did a recent video and you were talking about, a lot of people talk about Space Station and how like they're clearly the best, third best team or maybe one of the top teams despite not being in the top four. And I don't think you mentioned M80 when you were doing that video. I think I at least skimmed
it. I did.
It.
No, I did. They actually, in my hypothetical world, M80 would have had a tiebreaker with LG for the last spot. For the major. It was super close, actually, because I calculated, based on the results that happened, what would have happened if we used AFL playoff format instead of single elimination. And what it came out to be was, I had to guess some of the matchups, but I tried to be as like close to what actually happened in the events as possible, and close to what actually happened when those teams matched up. Space Station qualified 1 point ahead of MAT and LG, who were fourth equal in my hypothetical, you know, AFL perfect world. And it was, in fact, OG that were nowhere near, because their first event just put them way too far back. So I do think, yeah, MAT, that was a surprise one. I didn't think they were going to benefit from that as much as they did. But
strength of schedule, they though, they had a,
they would have
had a good run.
Well, you know, if it was because they finished second once, and then NRG finished third in Swiss. So that would have been phenomenal for MAT in AFL playoff format. Second place, third for top four. So they probably would have got top four. That's why, yeah, if we used AFL playoffs, there would have been like the people would be calling that the Mickey bracket. Like, oh my goodness, MAT just got top four by you know, finishing second in Swiss. Meanwhile, G2 versus Gen G in the other semi. Because here's nothing, no format's perfect. But MAT, I didn't realize till I made that video, hold on, they would benefit from this as well, because they did really well in two events for sure.
I think this last event for MAT, I'm trying to look back and make sure, but I think TSM was
first.
Was not one of the TSM knocked them low. So I was trying to remember, TSM knocked them in the double elimination before the Swiss, and then they didn't play them in the Swiss, and they played them in the quarterfinals. So TSM was, you know, kind of the thorn, I think, to MAT, which for me, coming into the whole split, because of the offseason stuff, I actually had TSM pretty high. Like, I felt like TSM was a good team. I think they didn't end up performing to that level for it to make sense for MAT to struggle against them and, you know, lose ultimately to them. It's not like one you can forgive. Like, Space Station losing to Gen G every time is kind of like a forgivable loss. But MAT at the same time is a team that, unlike Space Station, beat Gen G, I think, twice.
Twice,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's weird that it went to the pattern that everyone expected to, because everyone talks about Joria's two out and his teams and AJ as well. They both got this rap even before they teamed up for being high peak, low valley. And that's like exactly what MAT did. You know, MAT seemed to own Gen G. I wanted to see him against G2. They never played G2, but I felt like they were going to match up well, just because they seem to have infinite ceiling, but also they can't bring the floor up. So I don't know what the issue is with that in terms of how to fix it. TSM was a team they had to play multiple times, and they won the first few attempts, and then the last couple they struggled against. I think it's tough to beat the same team over and over and over again. So what exactly is their issue, though? I don't know. I'll leave it up to the coaches to decide.
Mm-hmm.
That's Were you contractually not able to talk about the Joria's playoffs situation on the Saturday, or did that often come up on your broadcast?
Are you talking about the fact that he always loses out, the curse?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we definitely talked about the curse. I said that if we went, because we hadn't lost while I was streaming their games, for the first two splits, we went 3-0, 3-0. So I said, I'll watch again. I'll go live if we go 3-0 again in order to help break the curse. Because to me, I felt like the curse for Joria's is only when he goes 3-0. If he gets out of Swiss, then he's won in the past before, right? Mm. So when they went to round five, I said, okay, the curse doesn't even apply anymore because they didn't go 3-0. So Joria's is going to be fine. They're going to do well. But I guess I was wrong.
So that one also didn't work. CJ
I did not
also,
go live, so.
CJ also kind brought up strength of schedule. And I saw actually Direct made a tweet about this split specifically. Nice. The team with the hardest strength of schedule in NA was actually SSG. And I have...
They had the hardest Swiss strength. Like any year in the past that has used Swiss, which is the fall split, any split that's used Swiss, they had the hardest Swiss ever. Because Swiss is actually quite good at evening out the strength of schedule, because if you're
fourth
winning,
hardest,
you play other winning teams.
Fourth hardest all time.
Fourth hardest all time, and this the two above are both spring, which is double elimination, and winter, which that season 22-23 would have been groups into
hardest
single,
Swiss,
right?
Yeah,
it's the hardest Swiss split ever, and the second hardest Swiss split ever was Omelette this split as well. Ooh. Third was Gen G this split as well. So actually, quite a lot of tough ones.
Fourth Muffin Men probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I don't see them on there, actually.
Probably, yeah.
pretty tough round. Probably should have been matey.
Direct probably forgot to put that one there.
Yeah. Must be
easy mistake. All good. Anyway.
Yeah, Space Station got it rough. I made a video about it. I was like, they definitely got it rough. And I feel like a lot of people I've unsurprisingly been taking that the wrong way as me trying to say that, okay, LG and OG are terrible and the Space Station are just the only deserving team. But I actually think they're all very close, and it's just a shame that the format didn't put them against each other in a quarterfinal where the winner goes to major, like what happened in Europe with Oxygen versus Vitality, winner goes to the major. That's what we kind of want from a format. You want your fourth and fifth in seeds to play each other for the major, yes. Not to play other people. And then
play
they
the
both
first
lose.
Seed and yeah. say just win. Like I got absolutely cooked for this fear. I want to know your opinion because I'm just getting this whole, oh, you just have to beat the team in front of you. And I think that's just the biggest load of crap ever. One team's playing the eighth seed and the other team's playing the first seed, obviously, you know, it's not as fair on that team because you're not finding out who's the better 4v5. You're finding out if the one team can beat the Gen G and one team can beat, I don't know, NRG. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think on the whole?
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you mentioned that was at the start when people were trying to say there was always people on every side of the argument, and specifically YouTube commenters when I made videos talking about when Rebellion first lost. There were people always, you can always get the defense, well, they should just win. I mean, especially in those situations where teams are playing, you know, in these open qualifiers against people that you really should be beating, everyone said, well, you should just win. It was that same argument, which I never really subscribed to. But I think the biggest issue, I mean, I've been against that for a long time, but the one that you're talking about, and the one that I think was actually brought up with SSA too, stuff too, or at least I came to my realization when the SSA drama was going on, is the format is being universally applied across all regions, despite how many spots they have for the major. Yeah. And so the way it worked out in NA and EU with top four is basically it comes down to winning your quarterfinal matchup gets you in. You know, if you win enough quarterfinal matchups without doing trash, you'll get in because of those top four. And I don't think that Swiss to single elim works well for getting top four. I think it's pretty poor, in fact, at separating that line at the bottom. And it also does a poor job of getting one bid, which I talked about a little bit on Twitter. I think it's probably not great to get one team to come out of the Swiss to single them. So I don't know if it's the right idea for Rocket League to change formats for every different region. It's already, you know, a little bit tough to follow for people to have a different one in all different places. But I do think one of the best answers is what Johnny talked about probably already. I mean, I loved the idea of the AFL switch for the single limb, but I definitely don't subscribe to the Space Station just needed to win once against Gen G or whatever, which it sounds like what inspired the question you're asking. I mean, I think it's a failure of the format. And I think that we don't have perfect formats in a lot of different ways for Rocket League, like a lot of more established systems and leagues with, you know, they've been around forever do.
You're right, though. The standardization is good of formats between regions. It's just that it doesn't work for top two or top four. And it also makes, you know, crazy situations like what happened in SSA possible when it's top one. So it doesn't really work for that either. It's just single elimination.
Really bad as well.
Single elimination is just not a good qualifier format. Like it's a grand finals. It's a LAN format to find out who the winner is. At that point, it's just like, okay, if you want to win the event, you got to beat who is in front of you. I do subscribe to it there. But for qualifying, well, the purpose of a qualifier is to find out who the best teams are, not over a course of multiple weeks, not who's the best team today, which is what the purpose of a LAN format
single
is.
Single
alien is
exciting.
Things.
That's like,
single,
it's
yeah,
LAN.
It's exciting.
That's
it's cutthroat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally fine for LAN. But yeah, for a qualifier, I don't think it's appropriate. And I don't think double elimination in the open qual like stage, well, I guess it's all an open qual now. It's just all called an open qual, but you know what I mean? I don't think that's like a good thing either. They're both too random. They're both too inconsistent is what I'm looking for.
Do you know what I hate as well? I like when you say I don't subscribe to this. I also don't use my Twitch Prime subscription on this either. When people say, oh, but we need to have a simple format. We need to have a simple format because the common folk won't be able to understand it. My grandma won't be able to. Who cares? They don't care about the form. They just go, oh, who's playing next? Oh, beautiful. I'll watch that. Let's see what they're not following along and seeing like, well, seeding wise. Oh, okay. Swiss. Okay. I've got to work out the next round before I see it on the screen. They'll just see the next round and it is what it is. Like, I don't really get this whole, oh, we need to make it like the simplest thing to follow. Like, you know, because these people that are watching are trying to jam a square into a triangle, you know, like they're just so stupid that they can't realize, you know, at AFL finals fight, top four get a second chance, bottom four don't. Like, just give the best format, especially it's called a qualifier for a reason. Give the best format to get the best teams qualified. If it was just a one and done event, then you can make it as crazy and exciting as you want. But, you know, especially, you know, as we mentioned, top four, it's not too bad. Top two, it just gets worse the less qualify or the less land spots you have. And especially, I mean, I've seen it since the Open era started in OCE with two spots, because if you have one dominant team, you just try and avoid that team. Yeah. You want to get on the other side of the bracket the entire split. Whoever gets on that side, they just lose in the semis, and then you just lose a spot. And you might not be the worst team. That's why I feel so strongly about the whole space station thing, because this whole, oh, just beat the team in front of you. Well, no, because it happens so much, you know, in OCE of like, no, actually, just avoid power and get on the other side of the bracket, make the grand final. You don't have to be the second best team in the region. You
like
just have to be.
Or seventh is better than fourth or fifth in Swiss, because you're not playing first. And then if Power gets second, now you're like, wait, we need to get fourth or fifth, because you want to, again, dodge the Power side of the bracket. It's your best shot at making like LAN. So I mean, we're not saying that there's been any kind of, well, this isn't a, you know, throwing situation again in OCE, not again at least. But it isn't, it's just not as fair as it could be. It's the thing is that we have to remember, it's not terrible. The format isn't awful. It is pretty good at getting the top teams.
Right, at getting top
eight. It might have got the top teams successfully in NA. Probably did in EU, a bit more of like a gap there. So I think it did successfully pick out the top four teams in EU, I think. But in NA, we just don't know the split, which is kind of the problem. It would be nice if we were just like, well, yep, that team A beat team B in the LAN qualification match, instead of they both lost and this team just won on points because they had an easier like semi-final a week ago, or quarterfinal like 2 weeks ago. You're like, ah, that's not that cool, is it? We want matches that are deciding who goes to LAN. Winner goes to LAN, loser doesn't. That is what you want, and the format is not delivering that as often as it could. It's a shame.
So we've done it again, Rizzo, haven't we? We've gone straight into format talk.
We have. But I'm trying to switch it up a little bit. Okay, so we're talking about strength of schedule a bit. My question is, you know, in NA, we have G2, Gen.G, Luminosity, and OG as the four teams who made the major. Do you think NA sent their best teams? Because some people, I feel like I've seen, are arguing that SSG actually could be a better team in this situation because they had such a hard schedule.
Okay, well, gun to your head, you have to like bet your life on who the better team is. They're playing for LAN in an hour. SSG or LG? Who do you say? I would say SSG. I think I'd put my money on SSG. Like, honestly, I would. And same thing, SSG or OG. Across like the whole split, I'd probably say SSG. Right now, OG have actually kind of had an upward trajectory, which is a bit unfair because that's not how you decide who goes to LAN. It's supposed to be average over three splits or three events. But right now, they've just like kind of started horribly, then they did pretty well. Now they're like, okay, they still look like they're the third best team. But across the split, I think SSG and LG deserved it. They were the three and four for me. And then right now, I'd say SSG and OG are probably the strongest. But SSG, definitely top four. I think they're top
I would
four.
Like to say SSG, but let me preface this a little bit, because every time, based on your question about it being LG, people are going to call me an LG hater, as they always do, because every time I watch NA, Rettles had the save, right? And I said the save wasn't that good. And then for the next week, everybody said I was a Rettles and an LG hater. But
no, the reason I said LG is because OG, I think right now, farm could be, you could say the third. They did sweep SSG, so I think a lot of people would say OG, they win that, which is fair. But across the split, who performed at a higher on average, I think SSG. So I guess I'm putting two different scenarios for each team, because I think LG are top four in split performance, but current power level, I think OG have kind of like, they've impressed me. They keep getting better and better.
I also think LG also had a little bit of a Mickey run when they made it to the grand finals, but I think they did. A lot of people don't like hearing the term Mickey runs, or saying it's a strength of schedule conversation, but like, dude, if you get a Mickey run, you get some extra points by that. The teams aren't going to mind it, or, you know, the teams actually getting the points. Absolutely love it. That's what they're hoping for, but you can't just act like the Mickey runs don't happen.
Fear, SSG or LG, who do you think wins if they play for LAN tonight or just like right tomorrow or something? Who do you think would win?
I think I'm on Team SSG, but one of the things I wanted to bring up, and I think this goes well with Rizzo's kind of strength of schedule in terms of rating players. I know Johnny at least checks this out. I'm sure everybody has checked it out in general, which is Halfway Dead's AI rankings of teams, which has a little bit to do. It tracks like player performance on the various teams, but also obviously accounts for strength of schedule because it's fueled by wins, not like format or placements. I think it's just purely this team beat that team by
wins,
you know,
I believe even it might even be more specific than the series wins. It might be game. I'll have to ask him.
I'd have to
wins,
be sure.
Definitely.
But like, I don't know if it uses replay data too. Does that? I mean, we'll have to see. I don't know the exact details. Maybe I should. But either way, it has G2 for a while. It had G2 before KC started to play regionals. It had G2 as number one for us NA Hopium people. But right now it has G2 number two. But specifically just North American teams, it has G2 number one, Gen G number two, number three Space Station, and number four M80. So according to the AI, the strongest four teams. And if I look at these four teams, G2, Gen G, Space Station, M80, and you tell me how they perform against G2, Gen G, LGOG, I mean, I like the AI ones better. I would feel better about M80 and Space Station at LAN, I think.
Isn't the AI doesn't care about a series between Swiss and playoffs, does it, Fear? I think it just treats all games the same. So if M8 are doing really well in Swiss and really badly in playoffs, the AI is like, I don't care, a game's a game. Whereas like most people are going to care about the playoff more. Right. And I would say I probably do like definitely care
it's
about the playoff
right
more.
It's probably right to care more. But
I just, interestingly enough, though, I just noticed that the AI right now has G2 at 2657 MMR. It has Falcons at 2653 and Gen G at 2652. It has just a very, very tight, it's a 5 MMR between the three of them, which is kind of crazy to see coming out of the AI, which last season ended up being quite accurate, actually, visually. Right now, we really don't know for sure until we actually see the LAN, because I think it's difficult for the AI over a long off season to... there's a lot of fluctuation right now. It's not quite as set.
I was waiting for it and I saw it in chat. There we go again. If I had a dollar for every time someone said Space Station shouldn't have gone to game five against a crew. Like, what is this? What is this like luminosity thing that I see? And McLovin's gone again. But SSG had a lot of close games with teams they shouldn't have if they're a top 14. Like, what is that argument? Like, luminosity went to round five of Swiss every single regional. But all I hear is, Space Station shouldn't have gone to five against the crew.
They lost some games, but they shouldn't have gone to five.
Had a better Swiss performance throughout the split than Luminosity. They went around
four. Who did
final.
LG lose to? CJ across the split?
They got swept by NRG. they got swept by Dignitas. Let's have a look.
I think they lost to
Space Station again in the second qualifier. Lost to Dig twice. Lost to NRG in five. And they lost to Omelette
as well. The point is like you're right, it's not an argument to say, but you know, SSG lost too many games and that's why, it's because they dropped too many games here and there and that's why they got tougher matchups. Well, no, they actually finished ahead of LG and Swiss twice and they got Gen G in the quarters, meanwhile SSG had NRG. It's like the format just failed to identify which teams should be going against which teams. It gave Space Station a tougher matchup. Yeah. Well, they got a little bit trolled by your team, Fear, actually. Gen G lost to M80 and that sentenced Space Station to death. Like, M80 actually they ruined Space Station's split by beating Gen G twice.
That's right. But yeah, they probably sent Gen G down both the first two times. I don't know what their excuse is the last time, but...
The last time it was their fault, they lost to OG. Like, this is where, like, a lot of people coming into Event 3 were like, SSG, they're only themselves to blame when they didn't, and then they actually do have themselves to blame in the third event.
But their first two times were undefeated Swiss, except for losses to G2, right? Is that what I remember?
Yeah, they lost to G2 only.
Very forgivable.
Yeah, they lost to G2 and Gen G only in the first two events, and they finished 5th to 8th both times, which is super, super unlucky. But I want to echo what we said at the very start of this, because I know there's probably some new people tuning in halfway through here. Like, I think that all the teams are very close. When I say that I think SSG is better, I don't think it's by much. I think that they're close. I think SSG, LG, OG, and I would say probably MAT as well in an average match throughout the split. I think they're all very close. But my problem, like we keep saying, is with the format. It didn't give us those matchups in playoffs or LAN. That's the problem. We didn't get to see SSG versus LG. We didn't get in playoff. We didn't get to see SSG versus OG in playoffs at all. And those are the teams that are like directly beside each other. So, yeah, LG fans, I personally I'm happy for that team because I like the, like, I'm a bit biased towards personalities as a caster. I want fun personalities on LAN. And that's what I think LG are going to be good for, because I like that team. So,
and I like the bear on LAN. I like the bear on LAN.
Yeah, we like the bear on LAN. CJ loves the bear. So, like, I'm happy they made it. It's really, it isn't like people, I feel like people just take everything personally right now. They're taking it personally. We're saying that they had a Mickey run when they did have a Mickey run. It's just a fact. It's not personal. We're not personally.
Every AI ranking, every strength of schedule ranking shows that. It's just, yeah. Well, again, and it happened in OCE. Like, I wanted Chiefs to play Pioneers, you know, Chiefs to play Karka's Minions to see who was the top two spot. But again, the format doesn't show it, so you never know. And now Pioneers are at LAN. But I want to move on from NA and talk about a region that, well, Fear obviously has a strong hand in, and I feel like we used to talk about this region all the time because we're like, oh my god, these guys are going to take over, and obviously they have had some very good performances, Rule 1 in the past, last season. Let's talk about MENA for a second though, because you, Fear, you had to have watched more MENA than we have. I will admit, I've done a Rizzo. I'm a bit of a grand final Andy in MENA, in that I only basically watch the grand final, but
That's a start.
I mean, if there's reason to watch just the grand final, MENA is usually pretty safe. They haven't exactly beat the grand final allegations in terms of like other interesting games to watch, unless Team Falcons Rule 1 match up against each other because of this young squad that I watched that pushed Rule 1 down. But anyways, you didn't finish. It sounds like you had a question.
Can you just like sum up like a little bit of the MENA split, the ecosystem at the moment? You know, do we have a top? We obviously have a top two, but you know, who's, you know, just give me a little bit of a summary in a couple of minutes.
So
what's going on?
So to me, the summary of MENA was going to last season, the rise of the Twins, as the Twins were slowly taking over, you know, that last, the last major, the Boston major, Spring Major, the Twins made it for the first time instead of the Kaladama duo. And I think that it got accelerated even more at the start of this season by having the Twins join TRK. I was mentioning this before, but I think, you know, if you're to tier the players in MENA, I have four players at the like S tier, the tier that can compete with the top of anybody. And it's all of the Falcons and Nupo. And so the Falcons dominated as they should. I was actually hoping from Rule 1 for them to put up a bit of a bigger fight. I was going to, before the season started, I felt like the Falcons and Rule 1 were both teams that were going to be, you know, like you could see them both in top fours if they played well enough. You know, I thought it was going to be a really strong team in Rule 1. I had Nupo very highly rated. And so joining the veterans of Kaladin Ahmad, I thought it was going to be huge for them. What I saw from them was not enough to say like, oh, this is another team. This is definitely a team that needs to be at majors still. Like, I'm not about to go back on MENA needing two spots. Like, this is still a great team. It's just not two killer teams like maybe I thought it'd be. It is still just Falcons. I think Falcons are a team with a few other teams that could win the major. It's tough to say when Karmine Corp exists because it's like if anybody's predicting to not have Karmine Corp winning, they're just lying to themselves. But I do think there's a few other people who could potentially win, and I think Falcons is on that list. So the Twins took over. They joined the league's best player, TRK, and the newcomer, Nupo, was not strong enough to create, you know, a real threat. I think they took him to Game 7 in at least one of the Grand Finals. But
that was a good series, by the way, that second regional. Really good series for that Grand Final, where Real One looked like they had it for a bit. But yeah, you're on the money. The Falcons are definitely like a level above, I'd say a tier above Rule 1 at the moment.
How much is it? I know you talk about they're all S tier, and then you got that Neopo as well. How much of it is that versus play style? Because like I watched that Game 7, did a bit of an analysis of it, and it kind of feels like Falcons are just like the offensive firepower. And then I don't know if it's just because of Khaled on Rule 1, but it's kind of like it's counterattack strats. Like when Falcons aren't on, and that's kind of what I saw why it went to 7, was like Falcons were overcommitting, and like you saw Rule 1 really punishing and locking down, looking good structurally. But in the end, kind of offense for the most part is going to be defense if offense is on. And that's kind of what Falcons are bringing, is just like just speed and precision. And just pressure.
I mean, I agree with you. I think a fast region. I think they're fast against top teams too. I think another one of the reasons why they get credit for being such an offensive region is because there's a decent amount of mismatches, you know, in terms of the Falcons playing against a lot of MENA. They're going to be faster, stronger than, you know, teams that are winning as much as they are and as heavily as they are often going to be credited as like an offensive team just because they're just so much better. But I think you're right too. I mean, I think there is still a play style trend for those guys. And you really only see it in moments when they're playing in the grand finals, like when you tuned in, when they're playing against other top teams. There's a few other top teams, and I keep thinking that there's going to be like a third team that breaks through and hasn't really yet. As far as I'm aware, Rule 1 has struggled at least a couple times in the Swiss. They always made it to a grand final, but I think they lost a couple games. The big games that I lost that I was interested in was the first full team of under 15-year-old players. So there were players in NA that made it in that were under 15 but had teammates that would have been able to play RLCS. So the first team, as far as I'm aware, the full team that would not have been allowed to play, none of them would have been eligible if it weren't for the rule change, made it in MENA and actually knocked Rule 1 out in the original double elimination and made it so that Rule 1 had to play Falcons right away first in the first round of the Swiss.
Yeah, love that.
I mean, that squad is huge. That squad is super offensive. That squad is amazing. I mean, they're very highly mechanical. They're really fun to watch.
Dr. No, Nash, and Ops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're cool. I mean, we talked about how we don't like that that rule change has happened, but it was, you know, it was for different reasons. Like whenever the, you know, a new player does come through, we're like, we're happy for them because they're, you know, playing really well, and it's cool to see the mechanics and the ability of the new gen. But they've got, you know, a good start. That's a perfect start for them being able to take down Rule 1. Give them a good series. That's really promising for them. I'm excited to see where they can go with that. Are they like close at all to 15? Would they have been able to play halfway through the split?
I think Dr. Known's pretty young from what I remember, because I think Dr. Known was playing when he was 13, maybe even when he was like, I don't know, he wasn't maybe one of the 12-year-old guys, but I think he's pretty young. I don't know about his teammates. I haven't heard of Ops, so he could be close.
They're both November 2009, so 15 in 8 months.
Bro.
And
end of the season,
Dr. Ops is Dr. May, Ops. So he'd be 2 months away.
Yeah, so he can't be Dr. Ops. There's already a Dr. Ops and
Dr.
Sam.
Rufy, Dr. Ops and Dr.
Sam. Yeah. Joyo's favorite nickname for the doctors in the house. Love that.
2009's crazy.
I think I also saw something that there's a 2008 player at the LAN.
Sphinx. 2009.
He's 2009. Is it 2009?
Yep, January 2009, Sphinx. He's actually, like, I think, the most exciting player to ever come out of APAC. Have you guys seen any of his goals? He has scored some goals. If you hit the nameplates, people would think that's Daniel. Like, genuinely, some of the goals he scored are world class.
He hit his end goal.
He did. Wait, does anyone have that in chat? Ceiling, somebody probably can have double. This. There's no way RZA believes me right now. He thinks I'm embellishing this.
No, like, why would I think you're lying
he's
about
like,
this?
Payback.
We need to show him. Somebody get the clip. We've got to pull up one of these clips. They're insane. Like, I'm excited. Like, they beat Realize, Virtuoso, and MaxU, three players who qualified for LAN and Worlds last year from APAC. Mm. So that's three players. Oh, LCT's made LAN last year. But yeah, Sphinx and Kevin haven't before. Yeah, well. That's cool. Two new players out of APAC. Full APAC team as well, beating the invading Virtuoso. Not the, you know, I think he's probably one of the players who's joined under the smaller regions that's done it the right way. So hats off to him actually being a part of the ecosystem. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm gonna see if I can find this. Nobody's posting in chat.
While we find the clip, I'm sure we'll hear it. Before we get off MENA, I want to ask again. I want to get back to your S tier, your player rankings, because I'm a grand final Andy, and I'm looking at last season as well for like Ahmad, because I feel like at some points last season we were talking about him, you know, being the best. Like he was like when TRK was dropping off, Ahmad was looking like the best player in MENA. Obviously, you had the twins coming through as well, but why is he not now like the best player? Is it just kind of like the young fellas are just too mechy and quick, or is it something else? He dropped off, or has they got better?
I think they probably got better. I think that the Falcons and the Twins, I mean, the Twins were always at that level. I want to go back to a world in which Nupo gets to play right away with KRN, because people were talking about that team being the better team right away. And I I mean, I think that would bring to your point that Ahmad or Khaled don't necessarily need to be having fallen off for this or fallen off to this for this to happen, because that team, Ruas, Killers, Nupo, might have just come over and just been the new best team, or right away could have been competing. And then if you remember, right before the season started, they even I think they made a special extension for Mina or for players to find a third, because Nupo got banned right as the teams were supposed to be locked in. So they were kind of scrambling since then. They picked up Natter, who actually played great, and then Mawson, who is another top player. But I think the Twins were always destined to, they were always on track to be the top of MENA as the new guns. And then, you know, TRK as well. So I think my point is that it might just be that this new Falcon squad is up at a whole nother level. And obviously it'll be, you know, easiest to tell at the major to see if that's true. But I would be quicker to say that they've reached new heights. And that's why the domination has come back, as opposed to the original Falcons when MENA first came out, when it was just, you know, no one else could hang at all. And that's why they were so good. They just had a lot of separation, even though maybe they weren't at the top. So the region has gotten better, and the Twins joining in and combining with TRK has brought MENA and the top team to new heights. So it's not necessarily about Khaled and Ahmad, you know, falling off.
That's still scary, though. So if you were going to do a MENA six player power or just ranking 1 to 6 on the major, how would you rank the six players?
Wow, that's pretty tough
on land,
on the spot. So I mean, like I said before, I have the Falcons and Nupo as the top four. But I think, you know, I think tiers are probably better. I mean, to me, that's why it makes sense to just put.
But I know that whilst they all could be the same, I want you to predict how they're going to go at land. So you're going to have to split them. Maybe two
steps. Give you're just making you order see, them.
Who's number one?
I'm not saying who you think's a better player. I just think you can maybe predict who's going to have a better land. Like, is it going to be Ruas? You know, it's going to be his show. Is TRK going to bring the more experience and look like the best player there? What do you think?
I'll put the Twins at 1 and 2.
Okay.
And then TRK, honestly, maybe even then Nupo. It's tough to say, because now that I think that the three that are on, you know, the super team are going to have their abilities seem heightened, you know? So it's tough to say where Nupo would lie if he were to replace one of the three on the Falcons. I do think that for the sake, almost to make a point, I'll go ahead and just pick Killers, because I think that way too often, because Ruas plays ones, he gets more attention as, you know, clearly the better player of the two. And every time someone says, oh, we need a new, you know, this team needs a new third because they struggled or they lost two games instead of one game, replace Killers and throw somebody else in. And I think that purely comes from the fact that Ruas plays 1v1, and people seem to forget that Killers is like nominated for offensive awards at the Boston Major and stuff. He was playing amazing. And I think that he just is in the spotlight less. So for the sake of giving him the spotlight now, I'll give him the one, with Ruas to the two then, I guess, and TRK the three, Nupo the four, Khaled and Ahmad, Ahmad maybe five, Khaled six, if I was forced to order him.
I'll flip. I like that. I'll flip two picks. I agree, Khalir's one. I'll say TRK two, and then Ruas, then I'll go Nupo. Maybe put Khaled next, because I think real winner. I think Falcons doing well will make Killers and TRK look like the best two players, and then I think real one struggling a bit more will make Khaled look like a better player than Ahmad. Yeah,
Ruas doesn't need to make saves.
Yeah, I think when you're doing really well, the offensive players do kind of shine a bit more. So I'll say Khaled ahead of Ahmad, because I think if they're doing well, if real one are making top eight, I think Ahmad's probably going to be like in highlight reels again, like he always is. But we'll see. It's close though. They're definitely not too far off. I think people calling for them to retire is like ridiculous. I don't think too many people say it, but every time, I feel like anytime that they're struggling, they're like, this player needs a new team. Anytime that there's a mildly bad result, oh, they're only the second best team behind Falcons, who are unbelievably stacked. Like, come on. It's not that bad. We'll see how they go internationally.
And that's why I bring up tier lists. Like, obviously it's fun to list them in order because that's just content, but tier lists do a better job of explaining, like, just because these guys are a step above.
Oh, we want you to be wrong, no. Fear. We want a bigger chance of you being wrong.
Last on the list. He's a bad player.
another tier list is a fence sitter, I think. So I like the 1 to 6.
I love
you got the clip though. Here is for
Yeah, I find it.
Yeah, production team has been working the crank backstage. We got the clip ready to go. Let's see if it works.
Yeah, you're going to have to describe this for the audio listeners.
Uh-huh. As we watch. Oh, yeah, this is a video, so good luck, audio listeners. Here's the clip.
Maybe too standardized. There was no surprises out.
What a save. Catches on the goal line.
We knew what to expect.
Takes it up.
Even if it was high level.
Ceiling pinch.
Oh, come on.
Wait, he kind of pinches himself as well.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't recover. He pinches the ball, but softly enough to like bounce off the ball and continue. I've literally only ever seen Zen do that in a 1v1, and Sphinx just done it in threes. That's sick.
Wow.
So it's like back corner, off the sidewall, air dribble.
The air dribble's clean. Yeah, the pinch is perfect. He even like he done that against the team everybody thinks going to make LAN. We all picked that. I think Gladiators to make LAN.
Yeah,
and now look at Sphinx just clipping on them. So that's what you look in this region. Like we said, this format's actually not too bad because it did deliver there. That was pretty much a match for LAN right there. Was that the match for LAN? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was. Yeah, they did play each other for LAN, and Elevate beat them. So well played. Excited to see them. Yeah. It'll be fun.
It's what Zen did at Worlds, but off the sidewall and a little bit more wobbly because he pinched himself accidentally as well. But fell into. I mean,
I think he did that on purpose. I've seen a few players do that. I've seen Zen do it twice: once in a ranked game, once in a show match, where instead of landing on the ceiling on your wheels, you just bounce off the ball and keep flying. I'm pretty sure he done that
on
purpose.
Keeps you close to the ball. That's for sure.
Yeah. So it's insane. Yeah. It's a really, really difficult thing, but I've seen players do that. And I wouldn't put it past Sphinx, who's obviously really mechanical. Youngest player ever on LAN. Really cool.
So on the topic of, not to take over the podcast, you know, change topics here, but on the topic of talking about mechanical plays and, you know, which ones are most mechanical, have you guys talked at all about the Daniel goal and maybe other
Johnny
guys?
I don't think
Johnny's
we did.
Put a line in the sand. No. You know what Johnny said? He said that goal sucked. He said it was That's what he said.
Wait, did you?
Johnny
Yeah.
I said it was just a rubbish goal. No, I don't know what I've even... What have I said? I think no, because the only thing I've really put out about Daniel's goal is they were... I think they were discussing it on First Touch.
Yeah.
And,
greatest goal of all time.
And then I didn't say anything about Daniel.
The greatest goal of all time.
Well, Johnny said it wasn't, and then he got chat on.
That's what they were saying. So at first off, they were saying it's the greatest goal ever scored, most mechanical goal ever scored, and it's like, I can't remember the, I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but like, let's just, safe to say that me being in chat saying I don't think it's the greatest goal ever, and it's, you know, probably not the most mechanical goal ever either, is disrespectful of me to say that. It was the opinion of the podcast, I think. Or maybe not the whole podcast. They had a bunch of
people. Okay, well, that's not my opinion. But I do have opinion. I do have beef. I have beef with Johnny Boy like many others do. Mm-hmm. And it's not often I do. I mentioned it before. Normally,
I like
popular,
this.
Popular opinion, mm-hmm. actually.
Normally, I'm able to resist the clear bait. But I'm actually looking through the Johnny goal because this one pissed me off a little bit. So Daniel had this amazing goal.
The Daniel
goal. So this you did it to perfection, if you ask me, because you're a great farmer.
The best part about this, I actually don't know which is it. The pan tweet.
It is the pan tweet. It was perfect. It was perfect farming because you didn't even mention Daniel in it. So
yeah,
it's right
I
around.
Didn't
the, yeah, you didn't,
I didn't
mention
Daniel.
Exactly. This was why it was so perfect. No, you did it on purpose. You did it on purpose, and I know you did.
No, I actually didn't. Right? You say your bit first, but I do want to like say as well.
Right during the time when everyone was popping off about Daniel's goal and talking about how great it was, and it was, you know, people were saying it's the most mechanical of all time. You timed your tweet very important. Now, I think, just to be clear, I also made a YouTube video before I get too deep into it where I also covered the same goal you talked about. So it's not that I don't think it's a good goal, but to me, you were specifically trying to poke at everybody who was celebrating Daniel's shot with your tweet and saying, I think you said, for this is why I want to pull it up, I think you said it was the most mechanical goal or something, more mechanical.
I didn't say, I don't think I did. I think I just said it's the most mechanical goal ever. I need to pull it up and see.
Not
what
ever, not ever,
is.
But
wait,
like
now
this
you said,
weekend or whatever.
This shot by Pan needs more credit. Most mechanical goal of the season so far.
Yeah,
no,
the season. There it is.
Yeah.
That is very specific, I will say.
But
I didn't say anything about Daniel. I didn't say anything. Like, I said nothing about Daniel. I said nothing about NA. I just said that it's the most, for me, it's the most mechanical goal. I even said IMO, by the way.
You just happened to tweet it when Twitter was going crazy about Daniel's goal. That was just... that was
no,
just...
Twitter, but Twitter wasn't going crazy about it. I think like this was like way after. It was during First Touch that I tweeted that the podcast when they were talking
about
First
Touch. I thought that was much before.
I tweeted this during the podcast. So they had a segment about is Daniel's goal the greatest goal of all time? And then I tweeted, I think this goal's underrated, basically, or it needs more recognition. And it's a shot by Pan that was a really good goal. But honestly, like all time, I can't even. I have no idea. No, best goal of all time. I mean, who knows? I'd have to go and watch like more goals because I don't have recency bias like all time. But
it was definitely recency bias to say greatest goals on 100%.
Just to get my take out. I'm not saying that Daniel's goal was the most mechanical goal of all time. I didn't hear this of all time stuff that was apparently happening on First Touch. I'm not trying to say it was the most.
I'm pretty sure that they said the all time. I don't want to lie here. They did say that chat, right?
It was a very mechanical goal, and it was certainly more mechanical than a Psycho, which is like two touches. I just think that a lot more went into car control of his shot than just a two-touch Psycho.
No, you can't just put a goal in a box and say, this is what this goal is, therefore it's worse than pre-flip air dribble flip reset. Like, no. There's like it's like such a precise touch, literally pixel perfect, which is like, I think, another level mechanically. Pan's goal. We need to like... can you show it, Rizzo, for production? Can we pull up the goals?
Give him 6 minutes.
Johnny, would you say that...
I have one here for you. I can maybe...
Johnny, would you say that Toxic's post pinch is more mechanical than Daniel's goal?
I don't think so.
Because that's kind of like the same thing.
That's a tricky one because it's...
Production's ready?
I'll say no on Toxic because I think that just one... That's just one... you know, element being pixel perfect, which I think two pixel perfect like touches in a row. It's also like Pan the aggression of hitting it that close to his own crossbar at that pace. I'm like, that's sick. That's pretty sick to do that in RLCS because a lot of players would probably just be scared and go higher. But like, no, they're both really like really good goals. I think they're both undoubtedly top five in this most mechanical in the season as far as I can remember. Don't think that there's any argument about that, but yeah, do we have the goal ready?
Production's hitting that transition right
now. He's so on right now.
Game done.
That was insanely fast, actually.
Game done.
Yeah, this is a goal that Pan scored. That is just ridiculous.
Try that again.
Insane touch.
Hold on, Elon's messing with the bit rate. Just imagine he hit it there. Yeah, production. Yeah,
can you guys believe he hit that with 3 FPS? I mean, that is just mechanics required to do that.
YMC could never.
What?
Before we talk about the goal too deeply, I did want to answer the vicious accusations that Fear is sending my way. That actually, no, I wanted to tweet about Pan's goal. And I think I typed up something about how I compare the two goals. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tweet about Pan's goal. I went delete, delete, delete. I'm just going to tweet about Pan's goal because I didn't. No, it wasn't debate. I was just like, I think like the comparison. Well, it'll take away from Pan's goal if I do that. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to actually put more eyes on it. Cause I'm like, I don't think many people have seen this because a lot of people were like, what goal? What goal is that? When I nominated it as most mechanical goal of the season, seemed like not everybody had seen it. And I was like, oh yeah, it's South American goal. Let me put it out there. I'll tweet it out. I think it's a good goal. I think he deserves some credit for it. And I think if I put it like this goal versus NA versus Daniel, no one is going to actually care about Pan's goal anymore. They're just going to be like, that sucks. I didn't
can
do
I,
that.
Like, can I share one take here?
Yeah.
No, yes.
Like, okay. I want to share why I think Daniel's goal is better, and it's there's one base reason here, and it's because he's actually playing around like the defense, whereas most psychos and pan shot in general, but most psychos really, people are going for the one shot and they're just aiming at the net and they're kind of hoping the defense isn't there for the most part. Yeah, you can do it faster, you can try to do it a bit more precise, but when you're watching Daniel's goal, or like, I mean, when you watch Zen in the air, it's kind of the same as like Daniel on the ground there. They're playing around the defense in a way that it's just a little bit more impressive to me.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I will agree, it's a more unique goal. I think this is where a lot of people are getting
more creative as well.
Yeah, it's definitely more a more creative goal. 100%, I'll agree. But like, when it comes to pure mechanics, we're talking mechanical. I don't think it's more mechanical. Maybe I'm just desensitized because I've casted so much 1v1. I've casted like enough Diaz to see like perfect pre-flip air dribbles into air dribbles a lot. It doesn't happen a lot in 3v3 though, especially when you land backwards and then jump and turn midair. It's just not a situation that is likely to happen again because it's the perfect storm of, first of all, something going wrong. Daniel messed up a first touch, landed backwards, and then he recovered really well. But I think, yes, at the end of the day, it's a matter of opinion. I think greatest goal of all time is very, I think, subjective. And for me, I'm not as impressed by like a pre-flip into air dribble as I think your average Rocket League fan will be, especially if it's not someone who's watched a metric ton of 1v1s where that kind of thing happens a lot. Like pre-flip into air dribble is very common in ones compared to threes. But yes, it's a really good goal. I think it's a very good goal. But I don't agree with people getting offended. Like the whole like idea that this is an offensive statement to say that Pan's goal is better. Come on. Like what are we doing here? How are you offended by that? It's just too, you know, it's a matter of opinion at the end of the day.
It's too easy. That's what you're about to say. It's just too easy to get him, isn't it?
Fear is like a good example because I think, you know, getting annoyed by it, I was like, I mean, this is definitely going to annoy people, but I'm not actually trying. People think I'm baiting or farming. I'm like, no, I'm actually just like, I want to put my own opinion out there. And it's true. Like, I do think this is a more mechanical goal. I think if you gave Diaz, like, for example, a training pack with both shots, he'd probably hit Daniel's one first. Like, you have to go back and forth because, I think there's some players who would maybe hit the pan shot first, but yeah. I think the very most mechanical players are probably hitting Daniel's shot earlier if they just go back and forth. Because
I think the difference though is it's kind of like Rizzo said, the reason like why Dan has done those things is because he's like beating three players. So it's kind of like it's very unique. I think your take on mechanical, Johnny, is because a psycho, like to get that touch, it's kind of like it's probably like a one.
Well, to get literally, I'm talking about internet no bounce, like at
yeah,
that.
It's like
I'm not just talking about canny. I'm not kidding.
One
in
20, if
in.
You're doing a pack, mate, like because it's like so hard to, it's nearly impossible. You can't really get consistent at it. Like you're consistent sort of hitting it, but with that sort of speed. But the thing as well is like, you know, he could have hit it, he could have not hit it. Like, I feel like I see pros like going for psychos a lot. Like, you know what I mean? You kind of like everyone's
like that though. Like, can we just put it in a box and saying that's
I know
what
it was quick.
It's a different
quick
level though. It's a different level when he does it like that than just somebody bouncing it in with like, you know, a slower shot. I don't think it's the same. I don't think you could put, I mean, are we going to put every pre-flip air dribble into the same box and say that's what it is? It's a pre-flip air dribble. That's not that simple. It's like, it's its own shot.
Yeah.
It's unique.
Well, yeah, that's
just because like
so
your
unique,
favorite. Just because your favorite. Like a lot of people are saying, like, oh my, like so and so content creators hit this. Well, we're not comparing content creators and their ability to hit a shot eventually. Like that's not the point here. We're talking about comparing pro players and pro player mechanics. And I think that yes, like pre-flip air dribbles are super impressive, but in my opinion, a little bit recency bias, a little bit NA bias, and a little bit of like. This is something I've never seen before is causing people to misjudge this, in my opinion. And it is a matter of opinion at the end of the day.
All right, let me pull this up. Let production
rebuttal
while we pull it up
right now.
Also, wait, I just want to say one thing. After you mention it, I will say that I do think pros would be able to recreate Daniel's goal more. But I still think it's more impressive because of the defense situation.
That's a fair
comment. The defense is definitely an interesting one. They underestimated. The defense in this one were like, wow, what is this?
I watched Daniel's clip for the first time, you guys can call me crazy, but I said, when they were like most mechanical, I said, I think I can do that. Which kind of for me downgraded the goal, but I think just the way like it's like cutting apart three players is like the cooler thing about
it's
it.
It's really cool. It's
actually like the pure mechanics of like an air dribble into a reset.
But is that mechanics or is it just intelligence? Like it is a bit of both, but I think that like Daniel's goal is a much smarter goal than Pan's goal, much smarter. But I don't think that makes it more mechanical. Just because it's smarter, like he picked the right, like his shot selection there, perfect. He picked the perfect shot for this position. It's probably the only way that he could have done this with the position and the boost that he had. But that's not mechanics. It's like it's not pure mechanics. It's also strategy. It's decision making. It's shot selection. Whereas you know, Pan, he's just like, okay, let me just launch this. Yeah, you can. So he's just like, okay, I'm just going to go completely all in here. Absolutely drill it into my crossbar. Not high above the bar either. He just like slams it. So I don't know. Like I think chat's reaction to me saying that is kind of proving it. I believe it proves my point. I think genuinely you put any of the players that are as mechanical as Daniel in a training pack with those two shots, exact same setup, I think they're hitting Daniel's shot more. I really do. And I don't, I'm not saying that.
Still watching it again. I think I can do it. I'm not on that
side. I want to let Fear speak. But I also just want to say there's a bunch of people in chat saying that psychos are lucky. They are not lucky. You're just bad. Okay, go on.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say psychos are just lucky. But I think for me, when you bring up the training packs, part of it, I think of psychos as things that people are training, like we talked about, and not to the degree at which he hit it. He hit like just about the perfect psycho. But I think what is a big part of Daniel's goal is Zen is also really good at this too, is like car control and creativity and on the spot, like improvisation that I think encapsulates mechanical. I think what we're doing for the most part, though, is just kind of arguing what the definition of a word is.
No, there's semantics.
At the end of the day, we both agree it's a great goal. Like you guys mentioned Pan and Toxic's. I made a video about Daniel's goal, but before I showed Pan and I showed Toxic's goal. Like they're both very good, too, and I group them in the same way. But I just think that it's more like Daniel's goal is more like poetry. You know, I'm a poet.
Ooh,
it's a little bit more
like
It's just a scale, in that sense.
We call brain dead mechanical play. If there's a scale between brain and mechanics, Pan's goal is definitely just me hit ball, me see what happened. It's pure mech. Whereas Daniel's like definitely towards more the brain side. So I think
Can I call Daniel's goal the most creative goal of the season? Is that a better word? Because then we agree on that. Or is there a more creative goal somewhere? Because I think it's probably the most creative goal. But I don't know, why are people obsessed with most mechanical? For some reason, everybody's obsessed with like their player being the most mechanical.
We're talking a lot about mechanical goals, but let's switch and show the chat. Here we go. Production team's on it, baby. Let's see if we found our frames as well.
Any minute now. Here it is.
Oh no! And Daniel flipping the play on its head, dribbling above first killer Chronic in the net, so it was Jack the Fuck! Just imagine there was a really cool goal there. Oh, the replay's good though, the replay's good.
Oh, the replay works, nice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Backwards takeoff. You know, again, I think I could just pull up free play right now and do that. But
CJ thinks he can win a fight against a grizzly bear, so that doesn't actually.
He did say that and he meant it. So
if
that's
you were going to do it in replay, are you including 180ing yourself off the first touch?
No,
are you
that's the thing. But he stuffed
touch.
That up. Like if I'm there, I'm going. Oh,
I don't know. As peak.
No way. No. There's no way you think he intentionally landed backward. I think he's.
He had to dodge the demo.
Well, no, that's after he landed backwards and then he jumped to take. No, I think he just jumped and took off again.
I think he stuffed it.
It's one of those times where you hit the ball and your car is like the ball's heavier than your car and you just get like knocked backwards.
He just jumped and he wasn't holding air rolls, so his car like just got knocked over.
I think that's true. But I do want to live in a world in which it could potentially be possible because it was necessary to dodge the demo. Jack demos him if he doesn't to do this 180. So it worked out even better. That way, I'll agree that I was just fortunate, even though I want to believe as peak Daniel believer.
But, it was perfect. Improvising on the play is a big part of high level Rocket League because sometimes, actually, it's most obvious in 1v1. A lot of times, players will jump for a play and they don't know what their play is going to be. It might be like the defender jumps, so they just go for a direct hit over them. Maybe they don't, so they go for a flip reset. Maybe like the defender backs way off, so they're like, I'm just going to let this ball bounce and go again. It's improvising, and that is where like 1v1 players really shine. And maybe, like I keep saying, I think that might be why I'm desensitized more to that goal, because I'm like, yeah, it's a crazy goal, but I think I've probably seen something like this in ones, pre-flip into air dribble reset. Not like when you mess up the first touch, that's super unique, because I mean, who does that I don't think Daniel's going to do that again. But can we agree they're both like really, really good goals? I think the argument
over
great
is the
same
for
thing.
Yeah,
together.
CJ, wrap this conversation up with one big analogy here.
I think the reason why this is so heavily debated is because it reminds me of like Ronaldo versus Messi, right? Where do you argue, is a better goal Ronaldo slinging one from 40 yards top bins or Messi just dribbling it around three? You know, the Ronaldo fans will say, I saw my six-year-old dribble around three kids on Sunday. You know, can he sling at top bins from 45 yards out? No, he can't, because that's just absolute precision power mech. Whereas the Messi fans are saying, Hang on, that's not creative. He just smacked it as hard as he could. Well done. He hit it top pins. And that's, I think we're having the exact same debate right now. What is better? I've seen people dribble around people to try and hit it top pins. The Messi fans saying, where's the art in that? Where's the poetry? Well done. He just smacked the ball. Can I get a W in chat? It's the exact same analogy. It's like, you know, what's more mechanical? It's like, well, you know, what are we doing now? You know what I mean? We're kind of just getting into it's. They're two completely different things and two completely different parts of Rocket League, I guess, is what we witnessed. So, you know, are you a Ronaldo fan? Are you a Messi fan? You're never going to be, you know, you're never going to, you're one or the other. You're gonna appreciate one more than the other. I think I just cooked then.
It's such a beautiful way to explain it. And I feel like CJ is just creating peace among the Rocket League scene. You know who
is he though?
You know who else has created peace among the Rocket League scene?
Oh no, I don't know if this is going a good way.
They've had a little bit of a revival here. I've seen that Jesse has been streaming in the past week. Okay. Jesse's back. Yes. And I feel like he has saved the Rocket League scene. Has anybody seen a Jesse stream recently? I mean, come on.
So is he just streaming ranked? He just comes back and picks up where he left off, ranked 2v2. Is that what he's been up to?
Yeah, basically. He's like, I'm not that bad. I'm better than Fruity. That's basically all I've heard him say so far.
That's amazing.
People keep saying his rent is due. But okay, we wanted to talk about Jesse specifically because we were talking about like the Rocket League scene in general and how much different streamers kind of help the scene. Like, Jinxie basically runs Rainbow Six right now. If you don't know who Jinxie is, you're probably living under a rock. I don't know. He's a huge streamer, and he also just plays... he happens to play Rainbow Six. He's actually bigger as a streamer if he doesn't play Rainbow Six. I saw him doing a couple like IRL streams, and he's like tripling his viewership. It's insane.
Wow.
But Rocket League, besides some of the French guys, Rocket League doesn't have like the mainstay Rocket League streamer. The French guys, they come and go, they stream it every now and then, maybe they play, they do some viewing parties, but there's not like a main Rocket League person that's here that just constantly streams, and it's just like has that big personality, that huge audience that just like sticks around.
That's true. Well, are we trying to figure out why that is? Is that the question here? What the reason is that there's not a person? Or are we going to nominate someone to be that person?
we could do both. I think the question is how can we get XQC to just play Rocket League every day and become a part of the community? How can we get him to read patch? Well, okay, never mind. Hold on, forget that.
For a long time, so I was of the opinion for a very long time, pretty much before Jinxie, that there was no answer that like you're going to be limited in some sense to the popularity of the game. And that, you know, if someone was gonna pop off, then they would have. But I've been completely converted by Jinxie, who I don't really watch, but I, you know, he's gotten so big, it's impossible.
Rainbow Six was dead.
Check him out.
It was dead.
And you could you could just tell. You watch a Jinxie stream for 10 minutes, and you're like, oh, this guy is a level of like entertainer on his stream that is unmatched in terms of just like energy and what he's bringing. Like the people are obviously there for him, as proven by Rizzo saying, you know, he played exclusively Rainbow Six and then left Rainbow Six and he gets more viewers. Like, I just think we just don't have somebody like that. I think it's going to have to be somebody young too. I don't know. I think people like, like yelling at the screen and stuff, which is something that, you know, I'm not.
You need to be
do.
A little bit insane, you know,
yeah,
like
you do
speed.
Need to be 100%. Incredibly high energy and a little bit insane. And it seems to be, you know, the perfect mix. So I don't think Rocket League has that right now. But man, would it be nice if we got ourselves a Jinxie who just brought a ton of people to the game.
Is he streaming right now?
He is streaming right now.
He's on Rainbow Six.
111,000 viewers right now.
Him and Shroud have... And wait, Moist Critical, Shroud, and Jinxie have, 125,000 viewers between them. Rainbow Six category has 147,000. So it's basically, yeah, it's like if Rocket League just randomly had someone stream. It's like, I guess
that's actually so insane that, yeah, the eighth most viewed streamer is like in the hundreds, and then Jinxie's just got 111,000 and number wise, like the really category is just one stream. What
one of the things about Jinxie that I've really wanted, that this is a great for any, I know we don't want to get too into streamer meta because I know not everybody's in chat's a streamer. One of the things that like I've realized looking at Jinxie's stream, and it frustrates me so much, you can actually pull it up right now. I don't know if links are allowed in Rizzo's chat, but you guys will be able to see. Not that he needs any more viewers. But he has a green screen that he puts on the back of his chair, And every time in his stream, the green screen does not cover the full camera. And sometimes he makes his camera big enough that that little empty space is like dead center of the screen. And it takes up what seems like very important space. And he's streaming to 113,000 people and none of them could care less.
It's a very important lesson about what matters.
Yeah. Production value is overrated on like individual streams in some time. Because like there's a really like sweet spot. I think Jesse's a good example of this, where actually the scuffed production is better.
It's like Tyler 1 Mike, that, Jesse Mike, he got what, speed, yeah. He set up to scuff.
I feel like Jesse could be that. He just needs a TikTok and he just needs Jesse to slam his desk a couple times.
He does.
Yeah. He could be dead. Jesse like could Queso be the as well.
Like the webcams, they're all rocking like Logitech C920s from 2012 and they've all got like scuffed headset mics but people just love it.
I think Jesse could be our guy. I nominate Jesse. I should ship Jesse to be the 100,000 Andy Rocket League streamer. That'd be a great world.
You know why I don't ship Jesse? He quits too much.
But that's fine. He'll come back all the time. Every time he comes back, can you imagine how exciting it would be? Jesse's back.
Has anybody ever watched Clint Stevens here?
I know who that is.
Clint Stevens does that all the time. He streams for like a couple months, then disappears for like 6 to 9 months, and then he streams for a couple months. He does it all the time, but every single time he comes back, everybody's hyped. I think Jesse could do it as well. I mean, Jesse does do it, to be fair.
He does, yeah. No, there's definitely like there's something there. Because some streamers get really hung up on streaming like all the time, 8 hours every day, no breaks. And this is like, you have to do it, otherwise numbers are going to go down. It's like really addictive and it gets people stressed out. But actually, like a lot of streamers like Jesse, yeah, they just go away, come back and pick up right where they left off. And it's almost like the break that the viewers have had from him is a good thing. So I like it. I think it's healthy as well.
Apparently there's a clip of his PC falling on him. So now I have to show that.
You are joking. What is this?
Is Jesse a Jesse clip?
Yeah.
He's so funny.
New Jesse lore. Of course his PC fell on him. Why wouldn't it fall on him?
Wait, this was today? I thought this was like an old time clip. It was
today, bro. Oh.
And what a clip. That's the power of Jesse.
I saw half a second and he just vanished. What the fuck?
This is really good.
Finish. Oh my god, my PC just fell. Oh my god, my PC just fell.
Why is this so good? Why is it so good?
He's just content. Oh, it's anything he does is so funny.
You can't teach that. My PC's never fallen over.
Can you show
that clip as well? Someone brought this. I think Hootie retweeted this from 2021. Jesse getting interviewed on an RLCS broadcast by Wavepunk.
It was Twitch Rivals actually. He was on the Twitch Rivals broadcast and his stream just started like donating to make noises to distract him. So on the broadcast, he just sounded like an idiot on the Twitch Rivals broadcast because he couldn't talk. He was just
pull that up, production. That is so funny.
All right, here it
goes. His stream, yeah, it's good.
All right, you'll be able to hear this. The audio going back. Really need audio.
But why the content creators over? I mean, you know, Monkey Moon and Extra are right there, right?
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, I could have also picked them, but I think McClure is a very good player.
Eddie. Okay, I think it's gonna be a good pick. There is not a bad player on the pool there, so I'm excited to see who ends up on your team. A little bit loosely here, but why the content creator?
He just can't hold your wife fucking all. He just can't hold your room at all. Oh, he's so funny.
Eddie, it is so funny, bro.
Eddie.
How does his PC just fall on him today?
No, this happens all the time. I remember one time I was watching a Jesse like turn. He was either streaming a qualifier or a tournament. I forget which it was, and he didn't know the entire stream like 45 minutes in that he had when chat can donate and play a song. I can't remember the name for it.
BTS or like Sarbus? Media play, media share.
Media share. Yeah, he had media share on, and he didn't even know. And he's just in the middle of his stream, and then just some. He wasn't listening to music. He's focusing on the gameplay, really locked in. And then somebody just media shared like, like, where's that coming from? And he's looking for the tab. He's like, what have I done here? Like, where's the music coming from? He's getting so tilted because he can't focus. And somebody's just like media shared, and he doesn't even know. Like from the obviously from that moment on, the rest of the stream was just media share, and Jesse's just confused. He's trying to focus.
We could absolutely dive down which would be incredible, just an all-time Jesse clip. But I think that could be a show in itself. I think Jesse. Can we agree? Jesse's the answer. Jesse is our jinxie. Yes. We just need him to stream a little bit more. More commonly, Patreon questions. It's time to finish up with
questions
that.
For Fear. Yeah, like if anyone's got a question for Fear,
can we do something real quick with Fear now because he's here, and I think you know he's got some global Rocket League. He's a knowledger like we are. You know, we're
knowledge Andy.
And just because, we could do this next week, but I kind of want to get Fear's opinion. And as we're going to squeeze as much juice out of this major, even though we don't really have much yet. Can we go through the round one matchups real quick and see what we're thinking for the Swiss?
Yeah, rapid fire. Let's hear from Fear.
Okay.
Maybe we just hear Fear's opinion. We'll get it. We'll give ours next week in the major preview show.
Are we pulling something up on screen or do we need?
I'll give you the link.
Yeah, production's working on it.
There you go, production.
Production needs some PTO. Oh.
how specific do we want to get? Do we just want rapid fire, like who's going to win?
You can give us a score. Can you?
I did a little bit of predictions. Some help from chat, but you know, I don't know.
Just give us a round one. We don't need you to run through the whole.
Right. Sure.
The whole Swiss, but maybe a little, you know, not a full reasoning, but maybe like you know. Fury because I really liked how they've you know like that kind of thing you know just host this thing for a second.
Yeah, Carmen Limitless is a pretty clear Limitless 3-0. Obviously, I mean we're talking about a team that won every one of their regionals.
They have not lost an EU team all split in SSA. They've been farming EU teams in their own region.
That's true. That's a great point. KC, I believe, has had a loss. KC lost to EU teams, right? At least once. Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
I mean, they've also never beaten a team from themselves. SSA, as far as I'm aware. So that's not good for them either.
Mm-hmm. For BDS and Elevate, I don't know if you guys have seen the Sunless Con video with Kevin in it, but that good has while. Me a full-on believer for Elevate.
Watch
so
that.
I think I have an Elevate 3-0 against BDS in
Are
the first
you serious
round
for sure.
And. Now I'm running out of things to do. So Carmine, BDS, and G2, I have winning in sweeps. Vitality, Complexity, I had a close win for Vitality. I think that a lot of people are saying Vitality fell off harder than they really did, is my opinion. I think it took a little bit to get back in stride, but nothing kicks the fire going like losing, which they had never done, and now they have a taste of. So I don't think the team is as worse as maybe some people think. And I have them over Complexity. I have Gen G over Power. Power get a game. And then Gentlemates Rule 1. I think these last few are the spicy ones. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys are going to chime in yourselves, but these ones, I think, could go either way. But I have Rule 1 over Gentlemates. I think that was slightly influenced by the chat, which was very Mina biased when they were helping me, because I think I was going to have Gentlemates over Rule 1. Now, the problem with having Gentlemates over Rule 1 is that it would lead me to having only one seed upset, which would be Furia over Luminosity, because I have
which
Falcons over OG,
yeah.
Which is boring and also not super likely. I feel like you don't often get only one upset. But I do think that if it weren't for chat's influence, I actually have Gentlemates over Rule 1 for all the things I said before about Rule 1 and how they weren't as high of a team that I wanted to see from them. Mm-hmm. Coming into the season, I maybe would have had it differently, but I actually think Gentlemates have a slight edge, but then Furia over Luminosity, and I have Falcons over G big time. I have Falcons as a much better team than OG.
What do you think is the craziest potential upset that could still be possible, like within the realms?
So for me, I think that betting against teams that have won or exclusively won, any team that's exclusively won in their region, you just don't know. You know, it's like you just don't know which way you're going to get from that. So I'm looking at Power. I'd say Power over Gen G. We've seen Power in an early round. It might have been a different squad then, but we've seen OCE, you know, win in those early rounds for even good teams like Gen G, and especially a team that just won all the regionals. You got to believe in them. I don't think any of the top three, like I said, are for sure. I think Complexity could beat Vitality. But as far as the biggest upset that's possible, I guess I would say Power. Pyro-Rogi. I think is technically an upset. Or no, it's technically not an upset. But I think Luminosity beating Furia would be an upset.
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed. What's your hottest take then about the major? What is your steaming hottest take that will get everybody up in arms on social media?
So the takes that get me in the most trouble is because I'm from North America, just believing in EU. People think I'm not allowed to do that, despite all the evidence. My biggest take is that people might get mad at is that North America and other regions are saved by the format, because it's going to be so incredibly hard to get all the four EU teams in the top four. It's going to make almost impossible to have the Swiss work out that way. And I think that it could, in a different format, still happen again. And I know that people are going to hate that because G2, and you know, even G2's got my boy Daniel on it. But I think we haven't been given evidence yet that other regions are taking over EU. But fortunately for us, it's going to be like nearly impossible for them to get top four with the way the format works.
That's disrespectful. You got to be careful. You're getting very, very dangerous territory here, where you are actually disrespecting a lot of people personally. And that is I'm offended on their behalf. That's like literally an offensive, incredible hot take there. Somebody's asking, who asked this? This is a good question. Heisen on the Discord says, what is your favorite 1v1 series that you've casted, Fear?
Favorite 1v1 series. I think I get this question sometimes. A few of them mean a lot to me. The first one that meant a ton was Daniel and Khaled. And I mentioned that a ton because Daniel, my stream rose with his 1v1 ability. And it basically attracted people to the stream because of it. And then I was of the opinion that Daniel was the best player, the best ones player in the world. And there wasn't a ton of crossover. So then he played against Mina and he played against Jack and Joyas in the EU tournament. And so the Mina day was first. And so that was a huge win. And it was like validation for my belief that Daniel was good. And I think it's like easily my biggest game at the time. So that one I remember. Jack winning his first 1v1 tournament against First Killer in a tournament that I did is another very memorable one. And I think those are the two. The other boring one is ones like people won't know anything about, which like the very first ever tournament that I ran, that grand finals, I loved because I had gotten to like 50 viewers and I'd never had any amount of viewers like watching, and it could tell that it was catching on early on. But that was certainly not the like most impressive 1v1 ever or anything like that. So Daniel Khaled and then probably Jack First Killer are the first two that come to mind.
It used to be a ranked 2 streamer, didn't you? Or it used to be a ranked 1 streamer, didn't you? You used to play ones.
No, I did a little bit of ones right before
you stopped, right? Because you played ones on stream.
Yes. I played ones for a full month on stream, and I got so mad, and then people see the rage clips and stuff, that I said, I'm not having fun with this anymore. I'm not having fun playing. So I'm just going to do streams that are streams that I like. What streams do I like to watch? I have a feeling you guys could probably guess what streams I like to watch. So I emulated them.
Jesse streams.
Jesse.
Exactly. Jesse. That's what I'm trying to say. Jesse has always been the man.
PC falls on him right now.
That's why his production value is so bad. Emulate Jesse streams this whole time.
And I never went back. I never did ranked again.
So obviously the we have some 1v1 experience though playing ranked, and this leads into my next question, which is relates to a couple of people in this podcast from a valued and one of our favorite patrons as well, from Moist Elk Flaps, asks who prediction for a 1v1 best of 5 Fear versus Johnny Boy, because it is. I tell you what, is this no
he
longer
said the
a
upcoming,
meme? Because
actually, you said
sorry,
you're
the upcoming. Because
mind.
Every YouTube video, every video you want to YouTube put out, the top rated comment on every video is 1v1 Johnny Boy
with
AppJack
commentary.
True. So what's your prediction, Fear?
What's my prediction?
What ranks are we, by the way? I'll play with Johnny. I haven't seen you play.
I am. So ever since I started streaming is actually when I first got it. I've been a Grand Champ 2 solo queuer in twos.
Johnny's in trouble.
Like well, eight. US West, we're good. Don't worry about it.
US West and East, to be fair. But I've just, I barely, like nowadays, now that I don't play ranked like at all, pretty much, I just do it. I just play just enough to get the last reward for Grand Champ, and I'm right at the bottom of Grand Champ every time I end the season. So that's my rank. I don't really play ones.
We're actually frighteningly similar. That's like similar, same solo queue peak, and also same usually just get GC rewards and stop playing. But I think last season I didn't even finish getting the GC rewards. It was just a bar that I hadn't completed yet, so I didn't get it. But yeah, not playing enough to get the rewards right now. I should probably mention before people try and go find that show match. As far as I'm aware, we don't have an upcoming show match. I feel like that would be, I don't know. Like when you're really good at something, you shouldn't do it for free. And I don't see anybody putting any money up. Like, you know,
this is like a boxing event. Yeah, we need millions on the line. It's like, yeah, when it does happen.
Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
If there's that much demand, like, we got to see some, like, why are we never the ones getting the prize money, Fear? That's what I want
to
know. Like,
where's the appearance fee? We talked about it
a little bit before, but everyone, the fans have shot themselves in the foot because they thought it was a good idea. Now they've been so adamant about it. It's like, okay, well, now if we do it, it's got to be a special, humongous event. It's got, you know, I can't just give it to you. You guys have been asking for it for so long. So if it ever does happen,
we're gonna be in a stage with
exactly. It'll be on land.
Production
value. Surprise.
On Jesse's stream, what is it? 100,000 viewers. Like, we just need Jesse to get
one best of three, because fatigue will set in after that game. Let's not go too crazy.
Fatigue. Not necessarily fatigue, but you're going to be like, oh, wow, I didn't want this.
Sure, well, they're going to be like,
it was like,
this is a bad idea.
When Johnny did the Ludwig versus Aatrox, and people were like, oh, so hyped. Oh. And they're like, this is kind of embarrassing.
No, it's because Aatrox got like 3-0'd so badly. Yeah. And I think Ludwig was handicapping himself in game two. He didn't use boosts. And in game three, I think he did. He tried not flipping or whatever, and he was still winning. Everybody was like, this is so sad. It's just not a competition. It wasn't not the best matchmaking there from us over in Salt Mine Underground. Our bad on that. But we had a lot of fun casting it, not going to lie. I love casting. I think me and Fear are in the worst. I don't like casting Grand Champ level gameplay. It's not bad enough to be funny, and it's not good enough to be interesting. It's just boring. It's just so painfully average that I'm just like, I don't want to cast this. I think like Plat and below is really fun to cast because it's terrible. Sorry, all you Plat viewers, but you know it is so bad that it's good. And then Pro Play is obviously good, but yeah, anything like Diamond to like SSL even is just not. Yeah, it's not fun. I don't know if it's actually good content. It has to be. There has to be something else there to make it good. Something on the line.
All right. Before I finish that question, though, I need a serious prediction. Best of five, Fear. You've got to give yourself the win to add fuel to this fire, real quick.
Yeah, I think I would give myself a win. Are we playing it online on US East?
No, you're playing online hypothetically in a World Championships prequel.
On the stage halftime show,
it'll be close.
Landform will come into this.
We better just do one game, honestly. If that's the setting, it's enough. Enough is enough. Like,
I think I have the edge. I think I have the slight edge. I think if we did it on land, it'd be tougher. I think I'd have more nerves. I've never been in doing Rocket League stuff at all.
You're not a land player. I'm a land player.
I don't know. I could be a land player, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. So, you know, if it's online on US East, that's a different story. I think, you know, it's easily me, but honestly, I don't know. Neither of us play very much, it sounds like. I guess I can't speak for Johnny, but I do play so rarely. It really wouldn't be as exciting as people think it would be.
You guys are so good at not really providing any insight into how good you are at the game and leaving completely up to the actual series.
CJ,
There's so much ambiguity about it. Like, we just don't really...
Play ranked with Fear, and you can decide. You can give your prediction.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the play. I played a lot of ranked with CJ.
Okay,
I kind of like not knowing though. Can I get one in here, Rizzo, before you go? Or do you want one?
You know what? I want to read this one because I have an absolute heater. I'm so excited to read it. We might have the same one, to be honest. This one actually comes from Craig in the Patreon. He says,
Yes!
Come on!
Come on, Craig XNZ.
He said, is EU talking much too reckless? Should we let them talk and be incredibly smug after? Or should we have well-reasoned arguments for why NA can perform and be right and smug after?
Is it better to make up copium and then be like, I told you guys, or to kind of go, yeah, EU are better, but then be kind of like, be happy when they don't do it?
What do you think, Fear, in the answer to that one as a NA?
I mean, my way of doing it for sure would be that I've always been a fan that maybe doesn't fully believe or like gets hurt by the losses way too much. So every time, you know, my team fails or whatever, it's like, I can't forget and I'm not going to get my hopes up. So, you know, my NA squad has failed the past couple times and I don't want to get my hopes up to lose again. So I'd rather, you know, the thing is, if you say EU's better or you say EU's coming in hotter, which is just true, then you have the ammo and you have the ability to say NA's better whenever it happens, if it does. Which, whereas if you cope with yourself all the way through, then can we ever really take your word once NA actually does become good? Or you just always been saying that? So my plan, tell the truth, NA coming in below, if they perform better, then we can actually say they're better and we can mean it.
Is when you say if they perform better, do you mean like winning the event?
That's what I'm saying. If G2 win, but you don't get a single other North American team in the top eight, and that's all EU are in the other, you're three in the top four and one top
it's
eight.
It's a win for the current state of North America for sure. Is it enough to say?
It'd be season seven, by the way. It'd be season seven of RLCS where NA versus EU, the head to head record was 7-1 in favor of NA after the quarterfinals. But then Vitality went and won the semis in the grand final anyway.
Vitality won that one?
Yeah, Vitality won season seven. Yeah, I don't know if you remember. You might have blocked that one out from your mind.
Do you remember the first game of that scrub?
Scrub
equalized on 0 seconds. Off the sidewall, and then he...
Sidewall. I remember an astral pinch off of the sidewall, but that was in the same event.
That was at Beyond the Summit. That wasn't RLCS. What we're talking about is the World Championships season seven.
Not ringing a bell.
No, you guys were there. Yeah, you qualified that time, actually. Yeah, and you did make it pretty far, if I recall. Yeah,
right,
I'm pretty sure.
News to me.
And they say game one's a warm-up game.
I was a big Rizzo fan, so I was aware.
Oh, how are you feeling at that point? Because you were talking about how if you go into the event with with no copium and you think your team's going to let you down, then you'll feel okay after. But were you feeling really down after that? Did you believe?
So what's tough for me, I can't remember what I was doing during this event, is I missed the major, like watching it live, and I was going to go back and watch it. And I got something spoiled by, honestly, to the point of people who comment on my YouTube videos all the time about the length of something getting spoiled. I think I went to go back to the series to watch it or something, and I could tell right away, like after the first game, I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
I wasn't feeling great. But I do remember being surprised, I think. I'm trying to think back because it's been so long and I've watched so much Rocket League stuff before. But as a G2 fan, I don't know if I was expecting G2 to be in the grand finals, and I was like, oh, G2 got grand finals the one time I wasn't able to watch it. And then unfortunately didn't go as well as I wanted to.
And then,
but like, what
and
was
then
the vibe
incident
after,
happened.
What was the vibe from NA after that? Because I remember for me, season seven, I was like, this is the weakest EU's ever looked. Vitality winning was like actually, I think, surprising, because that was probably the worst lineup EU ever sent to a Worlds. And then from season, probably like from season seven to eight, NA and EU were actually really close. Like at all the international lands, it was very back and forth. There would be like, Cloud9 would win one, and then like Dignitas would win one, and then it would go back to like NA, and I think what was it called? Peeps won a LAN. It was very, very 50-50.
Peeps
and
won a LAN.
NRG won season eight.
Peeps?
Yeah, I think Peeps won a LAN, Rizzo, in Montreal.
Was that
if I remember correctly?
Was
Canada?
Canada.
Do you remember that one as
Canada?
Well? I'm pretty sure I was there with Jarzo's mom actually. Watching that as well. Was that another? Did Brettle stand on top of the table?
On top of the table.
I swear Chicago was playing for some team. I don't remember what team was back then. And he talked trash, and then they lost, and he never talked trash again. I'm pretty sure that happened as well.
It's so odd. I just don't exactly recall what you guys are talking about. That's so weird.
Yeah, look. We'll circle back to that next week. Rizzo's got some memory loss things happening, it does happen a lot with him. But, Can I flip the question on this? Because I really like this idea of if an NA team wins but no one else does well, or vice versa. If G2 make the grand final but get stomped, you know, we're talking Worlds 20, we're talking BDS G2, you know, grand final. They get 4-0'd by K Corp, but they get top two. Do you think the sentiment would be better than if they lost in the semifinals against BDS, like game seven overtime?
So they lost, they didn't make it. But then there's kind of like the NA copium, like, oh, that should have been. You know how like FaZe lost to NRG in, was it Sweden? Where is NRG BDS? And they're like, but if FaZe were there, FaZe would have beaten BDS. Beat
Yeah,
do you think that the NA copium would be higher, but they didn't get top two? Or the fact they got top two would be like, oh, but they're still second and they'll get it next time.
I think top two would be better. I think the reason why, in your hypothetical, with them losing to BDS, the fact that KC, you know, was so perfect means that there's nothing to gain. Because the copium could be, oh, if you swapped it and they lost to KC in game seven in the semis,
yeah.
And then BDS won the whole thing, then that copium you're trying to get there is definitely there. It's like they were one overtime goal away from the best team, and then they would have beat BDS. But
no, but you need KC to win, surely. You need KC to win the final easily. Then it's like, well, there is the real final is semis, is what people will say. Because
what if it's like a 4-2 final? Because then I think there's still that room for like, oh, but if G2, they could have been the difference.
You know, the answer is? The answer is there will be an equal amount of copium either way, because I don't really think the outcome of any LAN or any like any of our CU like, discussion really matters. I think the people who are going to cope no matter what happens. And they're going to find copium in some way. So yeah, I think the copium will be similar in both these scenarios, because some people are going to cope regardless of what happens.
I can't wait because everyone's like, just wait and see. But I think even when we see,
just wait and see,
it still will not be. I don't think even when we see it'll do anything to the NAEU. I love it.
No, I think it will. I have a take about that. I think that if NA have another, I think it could be really bad. I think if NA have another like nobody in the top four type result, and maybe, you know, only a couple in the top eight or one in the top eight, I think so people are able, maybe people's ability to lie to themselves is even better than I think it is. But I think we're getting to a point where like we can't lie to ourselves forever if we don't see an NA team in the top four ever. So I think it's huge for NA. I think they have to get some sort of hope back, and that could be in the result of any team making it far. But you know, if no NA makes it top four again and it doesn't look close, I don't know.
It depends how. If they just get smashed, then yeah, that's really bad. But if it's close, if it's like eliminated game seven and you know quarterfinal, I think that's not bad. Like if a team goes out quarters to the eventual winners in a really close series, that's valid. Copium, in my opinion, like copium is not even bad. It's, a lot of time, it's like actually fine.
I love
it.
Good. I love copium. I don't mind it. Like
a lot of people are just saying, you know, oh, let's just, why are we bothering talking about it? Let's just wait. Okay, so what should we do? Just like actually have no conversation at all about what we think.
That's super interesting. So much. Like we have a Rocket League podcast, and people are like, why are we talking about this? What, Rocket League?
Why are we still talking about this? Yeah, let's actually just not talk about it and wait and see what happens, and then we'll be like, did you see what happened? Right, yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? That's what we always do with sports and anything like that. No, it's really interesting to get to predict and to talk about what could happen. Gets you more invested, and I think like having people in the community who do have strong opinions on what they think will happen, it creates interest, because I can promise you, like people like T-Bates have created interest around like people a lot of people want him to be wrong, and they'll watch just to see if he's wrong, which is good job by him. He's created interest where maybe in the past it would have been like, I don't really care about that much. But yeah, me as well. People want me to be wrong for sure. I don't want to give myself credit and be like, oh yeah, see, well, look what I've done. I want to, you know, give T-Bates his
content.
His flowers.
No. What I meant is you're the person you're talking about who wants to see T-Bates be wrong.
I'm pretty invested, but yeah, already, but 100%, like it increases my interest, because I know if T-Bates has a lot on the line personally about a match, it is just really interesting to see how it goes. Because I can just go and walk over to the desk and be like, T-Bates, what's going on, bro? Like, explain what just happened. It's always so funny to hear the copium live immediately after, which is something we get to enjoy often.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, the discussion's always is really good. I think, as I was saying, like, I don't want to call out the Reddit, but there'll be a post on, like, I don't know, Johnny's rankings or T-Bate says this, and it's got 600 comments, and they'll be like, oh, I hate that they always do this. I wish they talk about like actual stuff that, to me, like, it's all pointless discussion. But there's like 600 comments versus like something else is just a fact, or like an analysis video, or just something happens and no one even responds.
Like,
everyone loves it. It's the same as just general news, you know. Bad news always gets clicks. It's what people are drawn to. But my final question for you, and this is kind of just what we were just talking about, but Who has more pressure on them? K-Corp to win the major or NA in general?
G2.
Or G, did G2 to... I don't know how to frame this. I was going to say NA to just get like a top.
It's top only four. G2 is the only one who has pressure. If
Who's
NA.
Got more pressure on them?
Okay.
Do you think...
Just, let me
G2 with a region on the... Okay.
Let me hit you with this. Yeah. First off, KC has the most pressure of anybody, I would say. They're expected to win. They have the pressure to win. Simple as that. And then out of NA, the only team that has any sort of pressure whatsoever is G2. The other teams, they don't even know, like... They probably forgot they qualified, right? They're not even expected to be there for the most part.
You think Gen G don't have any pressure?
Gen G. No, I don't think Gen G has pressure. Not like G2. No. Mm-hmm. No.
Agreed. Not like G2.
Not as much as G2, but I'd say they have pressure.
They've got a whole region on their back, G2.
Catches a lot of heat, maybe might feel pressure.
I think OG and LG have no pressure at all. Well, maybe that's not
I don't think Gen G has the pressure.
Maybe they do have pressure.
I think they're a great team. And I do think they have that slight chance of actually winning the whole thing. But I don't think they have pressure. Because G2 are just like the clear favorites for NA. So like actually take it. All eyes are on G2. People are only talking about G2 being...
Even after Regional 3 though?
Yeah, I think so. Because G2 has the names. I know the other guys are very popular. Jack and...
It's the super team. Yeah,
exactly. It's the super team. It's the all-star team is G2.
Is that bad then that that's NA fan discourse is that this is the super team, this is the team who are going to win it all? Is that putting more, do you think that's worse for G2 that they're not getting other teams talked about that can win it?
Is it bad that G2 has the pressure?
Like, would it be better if there was like Gen G as well being talked about as potential winners so it can ease the bargain?
Yeah, it'd be better for G2 if Gen G had some of that.
Bit so like there you go, G2 fans. Start talking about how Gen G are going to win the major.
Yeah,
to help
you need
G2.
To release some pressure off these guys. Sathy's got a big job to do. I agree with you. Like, if OG or LG went 1-3 in Swiss, I wouldn't be like, I would be like, that's probably around the mark or 2-3.
Because
three,
it's a stacked event. Like, top 10 is super hard.
It's so stacked.
In this event, it's unbelievably stacked. So it's not bad. It's actually not bad to get like 1-3 in Swiss. Like, 1-3 in Swiss. When you see, like, I bet you there's going to be one or two teams who go 1-3 in Swiss, and you look at who they played, you're just looking at that lineup like, what on earth is that? That is insane that you had to play these four teams, and you're 1-3. Crazy. It'll be like four top five teams. Top eight teams in the event to go 1-3. It's going to happen to someone. So it won't look that bad, I think. Who goes 1-3 then? Well, last question, who goes 1-3? If Fear, are you putting the two OCE teams and APAC and SSA in the bottom 5-0-3-1-3?
I think so.
Okay, who else? Who is the final team in 1-3? Let's finish off on a bad note. Let's finish off on a nice toxic ending here.
Can I go first?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go first. Yeah. And I want to get in with a take that. Just because I want to do it. I think Sam always has one bad result, so I think Complexity going to go 1-3. Sam always do this. One
dangerous.
Team just bombs out.
Who's next?
I'll say LG. I think LG 1-3. I don't think it'll be a bad 1-3, but I think they're most likely to go 1-3.
I think you're right. But they're going to call me a hater.
It's Sam number one that always goes bad. Well, Fury.
No way,
that'd be insane if Fury go 1-3. No, that'll be fine.
So I did predictions. Like I said, I did predictions a while ago. So I actually worked out who everyone was playing. My 1-3 team was Luminosity to meet the other four.
Luminosity.
Me as a Luminosity fan, like it's a bit of a hate club going on around here with the other three of you guys. Luminosity fans in the YouTube.
Well, they lost to Furia. Then they beat Pioneers.
Okay.
And then they lost to Gen G.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost to OG. So that one I think was a bit of a coin toss, but I had Luminosity losing it. So that
sounds pretty reasonable though. It's like you look at that, and you're not like, oh wow, what a shocking result for Luminosity. You're just like, ah, oh, that's tough run. tough run.
Fear, you'll be there though. You'll be yep.
I'll be at LAN, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you'll be there.
I think the Chalkcast Patreon is flying all the guests out, right?
Oh, have you guys heard about the Patreon? Asterix not confirmed whether we will do that. Asterix still subscribe. Thank you.
I won't be there.
Oh. Damn. I thought maybe Rule wanted.
No, I mean I don't do Rule 1 stream, so. M80, if you know,
stolen you. They didn't make it.
Tough. They're not there. That's the problem. Yeah. Can't you realize?
Oh, I know.
You picked the wrong team. You picked the wrong
That's
kind of an awkward way to end the podcast, but here we go, I guess. Thank you, everybody.
It's been great to have you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you guys, as always. If you guys miss any part of Shotcast, be sure to check it out on YouTube, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Also, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/Shotcast. Thank you to Fear for joining us, and we will see you all next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.